Ramsey TV.
I've always liked the look of the Floridian Peninsula, even when I was a kid. You know, you'd watch the weather report on Channel 5 out of Cleveland, and they show the map, and there's that crazy-looking hunk of land sticking out the bottom right-hand corner of the United States. To me, one of the most auspicious tracts of real estate in North America. And I'm on it. I am on it. Even better, I'm on the edge of the bottom of it. That appeals to me somehow. Martin Zender, welcome. I'm in Fort Lauderdale here in the great state of Florida. And today, we're going to end the week with a bang, which really corresponds with me starting the week with a bang, too. I start the week with a bang. I continue the bang on Tuesday. I rebang on Wednesday. I usually double bang on Thursday, and Friday's the big bang. So here we are. And I have a verse for you. I brought it to you before. This is a verse that requires logic because this is so airtight, so beautiful. This is Paul locking down the fact that everything is not only out of God, but operates through God. That is, God is in it. Kind of like he's animating every single thing. Yeah, kind of like that. And then everything returns to God. It's the most sweeping verse in Scripture. But of course, for those who don't like any of those things, well, even Christians will say all is out of God. But that's where they stop. They don't believe all is through God, because again, they believe that man has an independent will. And they certainly don't believe that all is into God, because most of the creation is going to be lost to Satan, who competed with Christ on the cross and won most of those for whom Christ died. Such a pity, too, because he came to take away the sins of the world. Why are people going to hell then? For their sins. What does that tell you about the success of Christ taking away the sins of the world? But anyway, for those who don't like this grand and glorious truth of Romans 11:36, they will argue with the all. They'll read that out of him, through him, and into him is all. To God be the glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. Now, a normal person would be like, of course, he's the deity. Everything's out of him. Everything exists because of him and through him, and everything returns to him. But for some reason, if you can imagine this, people argue against this. It is mind-blowing. The only reason I can see for it is that they don't like the totality of God. They don't like the sweepingness of God. It makes them feel small, and they just want to have some independence from God. They want to be able to do their own thing. I want to do my own thing, man. Just give me a little bit of space. I want to do my own thing. I don't like the idea that you're doing it through me. That's insulting to me, God. So I'm going to look at that all, and instead of just rejoicing in it, nitpicking, that can't mean all. You have to look at the context. Well, that's true. That's the thing. You do have to look at the context wherever all appears. I agree. Because all in the Scripture does not always mean all. You heard it here at MZTV. But here it can be proven that all means all. And Paul locks it down. Here's how he does it. I'm going to spring from this, by the way. I should just do it instead of telling you what I'm going to do. But I'll go ahead and whet your appetite. I'm going to spring from this into Romans chapter 1. Show you how there are many, many, many who do not glorify God as God, but they become vain in their reasonings about God. And they put their reasonings about God above the plain statements of God. This is deplorable and detestable, and I'm going to expose it today here on MZTV. All right, Romans 11, let's start with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So much for God not knowing everything. But okay, there's that. How inscrutable are his judgments and untraceable his ways. We can see what he does, but we can't always see how he does it. His ways are inscrutable. It's like, how does he do that? How does he keep track of 8 billion human beings? That would be hard. No, for him, it's easy. So that part is inscrutable. We can't figure out his ways. We can see what he does, but nobody knows how he does it. It's a God thing. Let's just call it that. So his ways are inscrutable, not his actions. For who knew the mind of the Lord? And as great as I like to think of God, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-active in everything. And yet, if I, as a weak human being, can say that, then I've fallen short. It's greater than that. It's even better than that. Who knew the mind of the Lord, or who became his advisor? Oh, here's the thing. Do you realize, I got to put my sunglasses back on for this, for what I'm about to say to you. Do you realize that people who think prayer changes things, they actually believe they are advising God. They're advising him. Like a secretary goes into the boss's office and says, you may not realize this, but on the work floor, there's a terrible injustice being perpetrated on the guy who's in charge of the copy machine. So the boss, oh, really? Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Who advises God? Hey, God, I don't know if you've seen what's going on down here on Earth, but there's political upheaval. People are still killing one another. Just thought we'd let you know that. And now that you know, maybe you can do something about it. Nobody advises God. Or here's the killer. Here's the big thing. I'm in Romans 11, 35. Who gives to him first and it will be repaid him? In other words, who gives anything to God? A gift? A bit of information? And it will be repaid him. In other words, God will come back and say, thank you. Well, let me do the God voice because this is the Christian God. Oh, thanks. Thanks for informing me of that. I didn't know that. Thanks for giving me something that I didn't already have. I was always hoping to get that. And here you are, popping up and giving it to me. Whew. Can I pay you for that? Can I repay you? It's worth a lot to me because there's not a lot that I don't have. But whew, you found the seam in the armor. Okay, people think that though. So who gives to him first and it will be repaid him? Seeing that, and here it is. This is the logical part. See, so any of these things are ridiculous. Anyone could give something to God first that he doesn't already have. Ridiculous. Anyone that could be informing God of something that he doesn't know. Impossible. Why are all these things impossible? Seeing that, very important, two of the most important words in Romans 11:36 for you to understand this passage. I've talked about this before. I'm doing it again, just in case I'll say something differently today that I didn't say before, and some way that I put it is going to make it go click, and you're going to go, ah, I see it. Because I wrestled with this myself, trying to grasp this logical argument here. I have to work at this stuff, folks. I'm not a natural-born genius here. So I labor. I think about it constantly. People think that when I'm out running that I'm just goofing off. Are you kidding? Do you know how many shows I've come up with on my 8-mile run in the morning? And then I'll stop because I have my phone with me and my little running vest, and I pull it out and I dictate into it. Make sure the Romans 11:36, make sure you emphasize the seeing that because that's the most important part. If somebody would to hear me, go, who is this nut? So anyway, yes, I think about these things all the time. Seeing that out of him and through him and for him is all. We know that the all is everything. Because if it's not everything, then there is somebody that could inform God of something that he doesn't know, or give him something that he doesn't have, because Paul uses something that we can easily say, yeah, of course, nobody can tell God something he doesn't know? What human being could tell something to God that he doesn't know? Everybody says, of course. And nobody could give something to God. Ooh, what a nice present. Where did this come from? Nobody can give something to God that he doesn't already have. Of course. See, so Paul uses the obvious. And then he goes into the theological territory here that people argue about. How much is out of God? How much is through God? How much is into God? Paul says all. And when you start to argue against that, like, well, yeah, then you have to look at the preceding clauses that says, who became his advisor, who gives to him and hopes to be repaid from God in thanks for the thing that he gave him. Seeing that, none of these things can be true because is another word for seeing that. None of these things can be true because all is out of, through, and into God. Everything. The only way that could not be true, the only way all means something other than every single thing, period, is if one of these preceding contingencies were to be true. That there is someone to give something to God. There is someone who knows something that God doesn't know. But there's not? Okay, then why do you think that is? Why do you think that no one can tell God something he doesn't know? Why do you think no one can give to God something that he doesn't already have? Why do you think? It's because everything came out of God. He developed it beforehand. Everything exists through God. In him we live and move and are. Nothing that happens comes apart from him. Not just knowing about it, but actively making it happen. If that's not true, if God is ultimately not making everything happen, then there must be somebody, at least one person on the planet, who is making something happen. In a way that throws God for a loop in that he was not informed of it, he didn't know about it, or he wasn't doing it. This is how we know that all, in Romans 11:36, means all. It's a matter of logic. And if you even have the slightest predisposition to want this to be true, there's your evidence. But if you don't want it to be true, then you will hear this evidence and just blow it off. Ah, no, that doesn't mean that. Why? Tell me why it doesn't mean that. Tell me how Paul has not locked it down by using this absurd supposition or concept that somebody could offer God something. It's impossible. But the people who, just briefly here, let me say the terrible words, people who believe in free will, to give them a little bit of sick credit, they probably would answer yes to. They would probably answer yes. This is how sick the disease is, to who became God's advisor. Yeah, they might actually say, well, I did. They might actually say that because that would be consistent with this insatiable, insufferable need to give to something God that he doesn't already have. And if indeed people are free, then they would be giving something God. They would be doing something that God didn't know ahead of time, as discussed earlier this week. So who gives something to God first? Yeah, the free will people. That'd be consistent. They would believe this. Who gives something to God first? In other words, who becomes a God to God? See, I believe God is first in all things. Paul supports this crazy idea of mine here with the fact that all is out of God. Only if somebody came up with something first, that's the word I'm emphasizing now. Only if someone gave something to God first, which would make that person their own deity. See, the free will people don't follow that through. They don't like to be confronted with that, but I'm putting it in their faces right now. It's a pile of dog poop that I'm rubbing their noses in. Smell this. Smell what you believe. Smell it. Smell it. Smell it. You give something to God first, smell it. Okay, sorry, I did it for your own good. Who gives something to God first? That's how ugly human free will is, even limited free will. Yeah, I gave something to God first. First. But if that's not true, and it's not, then God gives it to you first. And if God gives it to you first, and you act out what God gave you, then you're freaking not free. Oh, I make sense for a living. Oh, and this goes along quite beautifully, as you would guess, with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. A corroborating verse, if you need it. But if you want to prove the sovereignty of God and to disprove human free will, Romans 11, 32 through 36 does it. You don't need any other verse. People are always asking me, whenever I give them a verse proving the salvation of all, like 1 Timothy 4:10, or I give them a verse proving that everything came out of God first, that everything exists because of God, because of his active invading of our little worlds, our so-called private little circles, and that everything ends in God, Romans 11, 32 through 36 does the job. And people always say, well, do you have another verse? And I do. I have dozens of other verses, but I don't give it to them. No. Martin, do you have another verse? Yeah, I got a dozen more. What are they? No, I'm not going to give them to you. You deal with that one. Because you really don't want to know other verses. You just don't want to confront that one. And so you're buying time. You want me to give you a bunch of other verses that you can not believe. And then after I give you those, but do you have any more? No, I'm not going to give you any more. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one verse for the salvation of all, 1 Timothy 4:10, and I'm going to give you one verse for the all-knowing, all-powerful sovereignty of God, and that's Romans 11, 32 through 36. I got a dozen more. That's all you're getting. Deal with that one and call me in the morning. 1 Corinthians 4. Now, what do you have which you did not obtain? What do you have that you did not obtain? This goes right along with who gives to him first and it shall be repaid him. Who gives anything to God first? This is just looking at it from the God point of view. What do you have that you did not obtain? That is, what do you have? What do you have? Is there anything you have that you did not get from God? The free will people would say, well, yeah, there is. My next decision I didn't get from God. No. What I decided to become for a living, I didn't get from God. The painting I decided to do, I didn't get that from God. But I offered it as a gift to him. Ooh, something he didn't have already? Yes. You might want to read Romans 11, verses 32 through 36. And again, call me in the morning and take 2 aspirin while you're at it. Because anybody who thinks like this has to have a headache or an impending headache. Just for the sheer pressure. But they see it as a pleasure. Pleasure slash pressure of producing things to God and giving them to God as if you generated the things. You didn't. Now, what do you have that you did not obtain? Now, if you obtained it, why are you boasting as though not obtaining it? There you go. Now, we are independent of God, at least a little bit, people. They won't, a lot of them won't outwardly boast. But if you are giving something to God first, then how could you not be boastful, at least in your attitude? And here's, the boast comes clear through to me when they say, I'm not a puppet, I'm not a robot. There's the boast. It's a negative image boast. It's not like they're saying, I gave something to God first. I gave something to God that he doesn't already have. I gave something to God that he didn't work through me. I did it independently of him in order to present it to him and have him pat me on the head. Oh, good little boy, good little girl. That would be overtly boasting. But the boast goes like this. It's just the same. See, I can read the seams on the fastball. I can tell from 100 cubits away that this is a boast. We're not puppets. We're not robots. We're not clay. Okay, that's as good as saying we present something to God first that he didn't give us or do through us, that God did not do through us. Philippians 2:13, God operating in you to work and to will. God operating in you. Oh, that kind of goes along with all is through God. And what do you have that you did not obtain? All these solid, rock solid verses. They will not impress the free will people. Guarantee you. They will not impress them. Because they're so clutch on to this philosophy, you see. That they have some limited freedom that they just can't. There's blinders on. These blinders are of God. Also, I know that. You mind why are you going up against this? You know this is of God. Why are you getting so upset? Well, because God put that in me. God made it this way so that I could go up against it and teach on it. That's exactly what God did. Yeah, God makes mountains so that people can climb them and feel good about themselves. You can feel good about yourself while at the same time knowing that God is operating through you. I do it all the time. I'm feeling great about this show right now. I'm feeling so good about this. I'm like, yes, I made a great show. But not for a second do I think I'm giving God something that he doesn't have. These things are not incompatible. The mistake is thinking that my being happy about this show or my performance in this show, thinking that I'm doing that independently and offering God a gift. That's the sickness. No. As I like to say, everybody has a will. Everybody makes decisions. They're just not free. They're all influenced. Big time influence. Influenced is the stupidest word. It's so light. It's just beyond influence. It's just like every single move inspired by the deity, whether for good or for evil. Well, why not? Evil simply means to break. It's not a moral thing. God makes vessels of honor and dishonor. Romans 9. Okay, now. So how's that? What do you have that you do not get? Answer that question if you dare. So I'm going to finish up. Oh, don't worry. It'll take me a while to finish up. Don't panic. I'm not about to say goodbye. I know you want. I know you love this show, and I appreciate it. You tell me that, and I couldn't keep doing it without your wonderful comments. And everybody's welcome to disagree with me. You notice that anybody that disagrees with me, I don't throw them off the YouTube comment section. No. Sometimes I'll engage, and I'll argue my point. Sometimes it's futile, so I just don't do it. And some people think, well, Martin didn't answer it. He must be puzzled. I must have thrown him for a loop. No, he really didn't. It's just that I can't answer every objection. I've heard them over and over again for 30 years, and I am getting a little tired of them, but Paul says to expose and rebuke and entreat with all patience. So I'm trying to be patient. I really am. It's tough to hear the same ridiculous objections constantly. But that's my job. That's my job. I'm not complaining about it. But I do believe that my patience in this regard is legendary. Somebody said, and I really appreciated this, I forget who made this comment, but this person said, Martin, you don't owe anybody any explanations. You don't need to feel responsible to answer any of these barbs people are throwing at you on YouTube. If I were you, Martin, I would just leave them alone. Just do what you do. Keep your eyes centered on the work. Make your show. Write your books. Publish your books. Don't be distracted by any of this. I don't know how you've done it for 30 years to begin with. How many questions have you answered, Martin? Oh, probably about 10,000 or more. How many disagreements have you fielded? Thousands. But I keep doing it for the sake of those who really are hungry and really do want to know. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. This is going to be hard for some people. Romans chapter 1:18. For God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence and injustice of humans who are retaining the truth in injustice. This is interesting because Paul's talking about people here who are in the realm of the truth. They entertain the truth. They might have the truth in their vicinity. It might be within reach on a low shelf, but they're retaining it in injustice because that which is known, and by the way, irreverence, people think of, when they hear the word irreverence, God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence. People think of you know, the worst sins in the world, like child molestation or people getting drunk and killing people and just on and on, the classic horrible sins. But irreverence is also not recognizing God as God. Nobody sees it this way, but I do. I'd like to offer that to you today. I didn't come up with it, and God gave it to me. What do I have that I didn't get from God? So, no matter how crazy I talk, like, Martin Zinner, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, I make sense for a living, it's all part of my shtick, folks. I mean, I'm not unaware, as I say these things, that is God doing all these things through me. That I didn't give God any of this stuff. I received, I obtained everything. Knowing that, then, I can just let it rip. And people who don't understand the truth, oh, Martin Zinner, he's so proud. You know who's proud? The people who put this outward sheen of humility on. Like they're all Christian-y, they're all sweet, they're never ruffled, they never talk about themselves. So they're whitewashed on the outside, but inside, they think that the reason they're saved is because they believed in Jesus. Oh, inside, they're full of stink and rot. See, I can see through this stuff, and you can too. They're all humble on the outside, but inside, they offered this to God. They offered that to God. They gave this to God. They're saved because they offered their faith to God. And God said, that's pretty good faith. What can I do? I got to accept it. Welcome to heaven. That's how they believe. So I might be rough on the outside, and many of you too, and David was, Peter was, all these great men of God in the scriptures, they were all rough on the outside. If you looked at them on the outside, you'd think, these guys are half-crocked. They're crazy. What? They're half-baked. No, but on the inside, they're fully baked. Fully baked, because they all know God knew David was a man after his own heart. So, yeah. Don't be fooled by the whitewash, folks. And also, don't be fooled by some of the surface turmoil you see in other members of the body of Christ or in me, because we know that we know that we know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Got it. I'm over that. Been there. Done that. I got it. It's imprinted on me. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, so now I can go on in the new humanity, joy, the joy of the new creation, and I can have fun, which I'm doing now, actually. So, the irreverence, the indignation of God is coming on the irreverence of humans because they're retaining the truth in injustice, because that which is known of God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them, for his invisible attributes are described from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements. His achievements. Oh, I love that when Paul says, his achievement are we. His achievement are we. There's no room there for a personal sovereign will, is there? No, that would be your achievement. His achievement are we. So, being apprehended by his achievements besides his imperceptible power. Here's another thing with the free will. God's power operating in their lives is imperceptible. Because it's imperceptible, therefore they don't think it exists. Well, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't feel a compulsion. I'm sorry. Doesn't have anything to do with you feeling it or not. Because it's God's imperceptible power. Romans 1:20. And divinity. Divinity is his deity, is his godhood. His imperceptible godhood. He is being God on this earth and inside you in so many ways that you're going to, if you have any kind of little hint of belief in a sovereign realm, you're going to be so ashamed of yourself. I'm trying to spare people that right now. I really am. Change your mind before it's too late. You're going to be so embarrassed when you find out of the invisible deity who was operating all the time. But because this is part of the reasoning, because you don't see it or feel it, you assume it's not there. Even though Scripture tells you plainly it's there, but I don't see it or feel it. Oh, please, I'm trying to help. I really am. His power is largely imperceptible. As great as the power is that we do see, the majority, it's like the tip of the iceberg, the majority of it is imperceptible. Wow, imperceptible power and divinity. For them to be defenseless because knowing God not as God, do they glorify or thank him? God means subjector, but they don't glorify or thank him as God because, they don't know him. They know of him, but they don't thank him as God, as the subjector. In order to know him as the subjector, you have to get rid of this humanistic, philosophical idea that there's a little realm of freedom where you operate. that you are the initiator of, independent of influence. You can't thank God consistently. I know consistency is not a big concern of these people, but you can't thank God for something that you did. I had a guy who told me that God had nothing to do with evil. God did not create evil. And then I asked him, well, what was the greatest blessing of your life? He said, oh, my salvation. And I said, well, how did your salvation come? Through the crucifixion of Christ. Jeez, wasn't that an evil? According to you, God had nothing to do with it. And he stopped for a second. First time in his life, he probably thought about this. I can be a prick that way, you know? And he said, that's right, God had nothing to do with it. It was Satan and the mean Jews and those irritable Romans. I said, well, who do you thank for your salvation? I thank God for my salvation. Ah, then you're the biggest hypocrite I've ever met. He was eating a pretzel at the time, and like the crumbs, he just stopped eating. And he started looking like a daft cow, you know, and his crumbs just kind of stuck on his lip. And then a little drool string came down from his lower lip, and it formed a little drool pool on the ground. I said, you're the biggest hypocrite. Well, yeah. Because how can you thank God for your salvation when you just told me the cause of your salvation is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? But God would never do anything bad or evil. God did not create evil. So you credit the crucifixion of Christ to Satan. So to be consistent, since your salvation came from the cross and from the cross, and God had nothing to do with the evil of the cross, but it was the idea of the deranged Satan, then you have to thank the deranged Satan for your salvation. Amazing Satan, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You got to change the lyrics to your favorite song. Church dude. He was a church dude. Yeah, so threw him for a loop there. He excused himself. Needed to go back to the pretzel bowl. Probably to the punch bowl, which contained quite a lot of vodka. Because knowing God, not as God, do they glorify or thank him, but vain were they made in their reasonings, and darkened is their unintelligent heart, alleging themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. I'm sorry, I'm just reading the scriptures here. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being. See, the accusation I've leveled against people who want this little bit of free will is they take the attributes of humans and they attribute them to God. This is what Paul's condemning here. Alleging themselves to be wise, they become stupid. How? Why? Because they change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being. In other words, if a human being insisted on controlling everything, that person would be a control freak. So they take that negative aspect of a control in the human realm and they transfer it directly to God and say, well, if God controls everything, then he must be a control freak. That is reasoning. That is evidence of a darkened and unintelligent heart. That is reasoning that here is called vain reasonings, empty reasonings. Well, since I don't feel God's control, then he must not be controlling me. That is vain reasoning. Well, since I would be a control freak if I tried to control everything, then if God controls everything, as you say, Martin Center, then he must be a control freak. Or because I wouldn't try to make anybody a puppet in this world of human beings. Therefore, if you're telling me God is kind of like a puppet master in that he's doing everything. I never said we were puppets, by the way. We're clay, which is more intimate. It's still the same control. Still the same control. If what you're telling me is true, then God must be just as despicable or as uncaring or manipulating. See, there's another word we take terrible in our world, which we should. He's a real manipulator. She lets that guy manipulate her. It's all a bad thing. But when God manipulates things, it's good. Why? Because he's God. He's allowed to, okay? He's God. Everything comes from him. What's he supposed to do? So to then attribute human negativities to God is the worst vain reasoning. And it comes from an unintelligent heart, a darkened heart. They're alleging themselves to be wise in these philosophical pontifications, but actually, I'm just reading, alleging themselves to be wise, and they're wiser than me, of course. Martin says God controls everything. If he did that, he would be a puppet master. That he would be a control freak. So we're smarter than Martin Zender. He's such a simple guy to believe these. God controls everything. God gives everybody what they have. Alleging themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. Here I am trying to point out their stupidity. Trying. I can only try. Because they change the glory again. That they don't. They have no idea of the glory of God. No idea. I'm sorry, they don't. No idea of the glory of God because they changed the glory of God into the image of a corruptible human being. You're corruptible. So when you do this stuff, it's wrong. God can do it and it's not wrong. Why? Because he's God. Something that you haven't figured out yet. I hope you do. Before you die, that would be great. If you haven't, you're going to figure it out. After you die and you sleep for a while and you're going to raise a great white throne, then you're going to go, oh shit, I could have had a V8. Yeah, you could have. You could have. You could have. I know. God made you stubborn, so what can I do? God locks up altogether in stubbornness. Yeah, okay, he's going to have mercy on you then, right? That's the formula of Romans 11:32. God locks up altogether in stubbornness, then he should be merciful upon all. All right, I think I've done enough damage this week. I feel pretty good about myself. I got my little drape open, so the lighting here has been somewhat attacking. The light's been kind of strange. But anyway, we'll work with it. It's not the presentation that counts or the presenter. It is the information brought to you. And I'm bringing you this information from the sacred word of God, correctly translated. That's how I roll.